And as much as I laugh about this, somebody's going to say, my computer don't work. Ma'am, the power is out. Okay, but my computer's not working. It's happened. Trust me.
I'm sorry. Are you from the past?
I know.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to episode 386 of the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle. Good afternoon, Donna.
Of Cardin. I was waiting for that part.
Oh, of Cardin. Of
that's
course.
That's the part where I start paying attention.
Okay, let's start over.
You never know where David could ramble to, and I just wait until I hear of Cardin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So next time I'll just start out and go, welcome to episode of Cardin. See what you do. Yeah. So 386 episode number. That also reminds me of my first computer.
There you go. Getting nerdy with it, stepping right out the door.
Yeah. Yep. Sure enough. So today we were going to be talking about power outage plans, because there's a power outage going on.
In the news.
Yeah, in the news. We got up this morning and it was like, power outage. And I'm thinking to myself, well, mine's on, so I'm not really worried about it. But then you see the big massive outage is happening, and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And you know how your phone shows you, like, sometimes it'll show you like the first few words of the subject line of an article. Mm-hmm. And it was like, power outage due to shooting. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Didn't expect that.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that maybe it was like a shooting of someone and they happened to hit something in a power plant, but no,
it's way more stupid than that.
Yeah. So,
but you missed it. All this happened starting on Saturday night, and I'm seeing the, because all the nerd news is hitting me.
That's why, that's why I missed it, because I'm getting back in from Orlando.
Hanging with the boys.
Yeah. So I've been
the grown men now, but.
Yeah. So I've been off the grid, even though that would be fitting for today's episode, but yeah, definitely off the normal grid.
Well. Now, when the grown kids are in town, you got to get fun time when you can.
Yep. And and shout out to Kendra if you're listening. Appreciate it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You the best.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of appreciate it, we definitely appreciate those who helped keep us on the air. Thanks to our donors. Appreciate you immensely. And
we also appreciate those who share us out, all those things, and come to the PriceSec boot camp.
I know. And I don't even know if I want to talk about it. But we are working on some other things that might be helpful for you to get there.
We are.
Yeah. I don't know if we're at the ability to talk about it right now, but we're looking at it, trying to figure out other ways that we can help you get there.
Yes.
So, but the Privacy and Security Boot Camp, better known as the PriceSec Boot Camp, it's going to be a 3.5-day in-person event in March. It's going to be 12, 13, 14, and the 15th in Louisville, Kentucky. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. We got so much information now that we're pumping out. So if you need more details, there's plenty of it out there of the kind of things we're going to cover. And we're pre-approved for HCCA, CCB, CEUs. Mm-hmm. Really, all you need to know is we're pre-approved for CEUs, live training CEUs. You could be sitting pretty from the beginning of the year on.
So go to PriceSecBootCamp.com to learn more and to sign up, because seating is limited. And we ain't just joking to get you in there. It is limited.
Yeah, there's only so many. All right. Looking forward to seeing you there.
Yep. All right.
I want to hear about how awesome the party was after you didn't go.
Yeah, because it will be awesome. So you've got something here in the HIPAA Say What about the HIPAA security risk analysis. So I'm assuming something has happened that has escaped my purview that you want to talk about.
Well, no, I'm just pointing out here, you know, the security risk analysis is required. We bring that up all the time because it's not done right. You know, and we still teach people how to do it.
What you talking about, Willis?
You know what I'm talking about, Willis.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before, and maybe we time to do another whole episode about what it means to do one right, because it's still a problem, because I'm still seeing people posting forums. I've got a client that needs HIPAA risk assessment, and I'm looking for a tool to run a scan to give them the risk assessment report. And I'm like, God, you don't even know what you're asking.
Mm-hmm. When I have to explain to IT folks so often, what you do is a portion of the security risk analysis.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the risk analysis unless you are literally looking at what kind of policies and procedures they have, what kind of documentation they're maintaining, all of these other things, and how are the configuration of all of their EHRs? What's the configuration of all the equipment that you don't support? It's a big, big project if it's done right. But then if you properly maintain it, it gets easier over time to manage it, because your risk analysis has an associated risk management plan that has you keeping up with stuff.
Yep.
And the idea of a risk analysis isn't to say we face all these risks and they're all low, so we're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, and I still blame some of these vendors that are out there, and they're propagating the problem. Yes, I said propagating. Because that's the way they're selling their product. Hey, here's a HIPAA scan.
Yep.
You know, just do the scan. I mean, it just drives me nuts, man.
Well, I even had a fairly large group that we started working with when we first did an assessment for them. And a lot of locations. And they said, why is it that my IT last year told me that I was low risk and you're telling me I'm high risk? And I said, well, it's little things like when they ask, do you have a sanction policy? You said yes. And they said, low risk. I said, show it to me.
And you said, I ain't got it.
And when you showed it to me, it had nothing in it that it was supposed to have. It was not actually a sanction policy.
Oh.
So they took your word for it. And if you had shown them what you have, I don't know that they would have known that it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I can assure you that what you have would not pass muster. So therefore, they took your word for it, didn't know any better. I understand what's really happening and how to look for it. So there is the difference.
Yep. Because you got to prove it.
You got to prove it.
And you
a lot of times there's just misunderstanding of what's really required, and everybody thinks they have it until somebody like me goes, this is what it should look like. Oh, well, we don't have anything that looks like that.
Can I have that one?
Yeah, you just give me that one. But another important thing is that when we define all these risks, you're also required to have as part of your risk management plan an incident response plan.
Yep.
And you have to resist the it won't happen to us, it won't happen to me assumption, because we have our threat catalog. And it said things like pandemic, and people went, that's ridiculous, until 2020. And then, why is that even on there? Because it's a thing, you know. Scientists have been telling us this could happen. We should put it on our list. Oh, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, and it's likely to happen again. You know, it's kind of
like they said.
It's like when, you know, somebody's like, oh, there's no way anybody will ever break this record. And then somebody does it. And as soon as somebody does it, two other people do it right.
That's
after
right.
That. Yeah. The pandemic is going to be the same thing. Oh my gosh, it'll never happen. Then it does. Now there will be two more coming after it.
I know. And I'm just, getting my helmet and getting ready.
Because now we've proven it's a thing, and then now it'll just become a common thing.
That's right.
Hopefully not, but.
And one of the things that we have many. We should go through all of the things on our threat list that people are like, there's no sense in me. That's not going to happen. And really, I mean, Murphy's Law says, boom, you've just guaranteed it. Yeah. So, but one of them is a regional power outage.
Yeah. Now, just to be, cover this, it's not that we're saying you should have a plan for when a power outage occurs because of a shooting incident.
No, we're not saying that.
Okay.
Now, what we're saying is you need to understand a lot of things could happen to cause this threat, and it's a vulnerability for all of us.
Yep. So if you just have a power outage plan, it covers all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And to make the assumption, well, if the power's out that bad, it'll be because of a natural disaster, this episode is to explain that no, it's not.
Yeah.
You're going to have a totally different list of problems, so.
Yep. Well, before we dive into that, let's go ahead and talk about our 4 or 5 D tip of the week.
Yeah, the new December newsletter. If you're signed up for the listserv, which you should do, if you go to the website, 405d.hhs.gov, you can sign up for the mailing list and you'll get all of this stuff automatically.
Or you can just wait for us to talk about it and come get it from us.
That's plan B. But don't let the title of this one intimidate you. I first looked at it and said, what? So just know, I'm like, which thing are we doing? MC2? Okay, look, yes, people like us write these things. But the Health Sector Coordinating Council had gotten some vendors together, medical device vendors, as well as, the health delivery organizations, HDOs, and worked out some model contract language for managing cybersecurity on med tech devices. So if you have medical devices that you are worried about securing, this article, even though an article that titled Model Contract Language for MedTech Cybersecurity MC2 by Health Sector Council, yes, there is a big, the original title? That's the title of the document, but applying MC squared as a security professional. That did not scream to me, but as soon as they started, I read the first paragraph, I'm like, oh yeah, that thing, which is the model contract language. So trust me, go read the article so it will make sense what the title says.
I'm confused already.
I know. So we got a link to the newsletter, which had some other really good articles about patient safety, as well as some other details about attacks and those things. And we have a link to the model contract language if you just want to go straight to it.
Cool. All right, here we go. You ready to check out your power outage plans?
Yeah, you think about this. That most people would rate this low, thinking, well, my power's not, if the power outage, most people think 30 minutes, an hour.
I got a battery backup.
Yeah. Never more than 24 hours will I deal with the power being out.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong.
Yeah, that's the night that the lights went out in Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Nobody delivers that like Julia Sugarbaker. The night the lights went out in Georgia. If you don't know that episode, you should see it. It involves a baton. A fire baton. Thank you very much. All right.
Wow, we digressed. I know. We just completely crashed that one.
Look, I love designing women. It was just perfect for me. The shoulder pads and everything. Remember, I was coming up in the 80s. They were the business women I wanted to be. Okay. So the plan that you really should have is we're going to be out of power for a week. Just make a plan for that. I'm not going to have power for a week. I have had to suck that up myself here when the 2000 Super Bowl was here in Atlanta. We had one of the worst ice storms we'd ever had. And I didn't have power at my house for 5 days.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it was freezing cold, hence the ice storm issue. And my friends from St. Louis were here, and they finally understood, you don't have people to handle ice and snow on the road. And I was like, you are correct. We don't need those people all the time.
Yep.
He's like, there's 5 guys named Bubba with a bag of salt. Yes. Yes, they are. Okay. So we have to accept that this kind of stuff, this probably being where it is out in the middle of the woods. And if you see the pictures of these substations that were hit, they're in the middle of the woods. So there's got to be a guy named Bubba or with a nickname Bubba involved somewhere.
Or he knows somebody named Bubba.
Yeah. There's a Bubba involved. Either they're a witness.
Yeah.
They know something, or they're related to somebody that does.
He's like, that darn deer moved right when I squeezed the trigger.
Yeah, well, they were hit very hard. And this high-powered rifle shooting through this substation equipment, and it's not, you can't repair it.
Mm.
And, you know, they made it clear. So here we are. It's the time of year where everybody's gathering together. They're busy. They're running around doing stuff. They've got parties to go to. They're trying to get the year-end work done. You know, you're dealing with sick children a normal year. It's flu season. And we don't, well, before COVID, that was a normal flu season, was crazy this time of year. We have to accept that this is the new normal. So I'm not
going to. Yeah.
And so this year we got flu, RSV, and COVID in full swing. And we had, I was talking with one of our pediatrics, and they ran out of flu tests. They had stocked up on them. They ran out of flu tests. They had so many cases in pediatrics.
Wow.
So this is not something that is small in volume, and it's literally happening. I know the southeastern area is like purple. It went past red. It's like a dark, dark purple. You know, like a really bad bruise is what Southeast looks like on the map. So we got a really bad season going on, dealing with people, my whole family, somebody's been sick. The weather's dreary. It's definitely cold. And then they got all these people in Moore County, North Carolina, have now had, you know, they called it vandalism. I'm sorry. That's tagging it. The high-powered rifle taking out power grids, not going to be classified as vandalism in my world. Just can't make that happen. But it could be the uh-oh prank if it were only one. But they did 2 substations 5 miles apart. This is not unreasonable to consider that now that somebody's seen this crap, they're going to do the same thing. So it's even more likely now.
Yep. Going back to what we said earlier.
That's right.
Never happens till it does, and then it becomes common.
Yeah. Don't say never ever again with this. And who knows what they're going to find out. I mean, they got to have the FBI involved. There's a lot going on to figure this out, Department of Homeland Security, blah, blah, blah. But this is an attack on critical infrastructure industries, those 16. And guess what? Healthcare is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons that we do so much work worried about cyber attacks disabling us. But the computers aren't working at all.
Yeah. You ain't got no power. You ain't got to worry about getting hacked.
Yeah. And
we saved you from a ransomware attack. We cut your power.
Yeah. You're off the grid now. But the Duke Energy spokesman said, we're looking at a pretty sophisticated repair with some pretty large equipment. So we do want citizens to be prepared that this will be a multi-day restoration for most customers, extending potentially as long as Thursday.
Shoot. Slap some Flex Seal on that thing.
Yeah. All that motherboard that was shot right through, I'm sure.
I know. Just get some duct tape and zip ties and Velcro. That's all you need.
I'm sure that's what they responded with first. And then everybody went, oh, whoa, this ain't it. No.
Yeah.
Can't do that surgery.
No. Just get you some paper clips and pull them out and, you know, stick them in there, jump them across. You know, I see MacGyver. You can do it.
Yeah. Well, at this point, they said, oh, the power will be back on by Monday.
Ooh.
And, originally, and then they realized really how bad it is yesterday. Because, I mean, this happened in the dark on Saturday night. Everybody's starting to figure it out on Sunday. Here we are on Monday, and the news just keeps getting worse about the actual damage, which is what we're worried about. You know, you can worry all day. That's the police and law enforcement and all of that got to figure out how to deal with the actual event. We're dealing with the fallout from the event. And you're talking about a massive problem when the entire region is out of power.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the live map. Looks like there's currently, just in that one area, there's over 32,000 people. I say people, businesses and homes and all that without power.
Yeah, customers.
Yep, there you go. Customers.
Yeah. So, you know, the community's doing the best they can to deal with this. The county declared a state of emergency, which automatically triggers state things and, you know, their access to help. But, you know, they've got a curfew in place from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. Okay, well, if you're going to be out trying to work on your business after 9 p.m., no. All the traffic lights are out. You're trying to get around the middle of the day. Oh, I need the police or somebody to handle and manage traffic, but I also need them to guard all the businesses that no one's looking at. I think the Walmart's been looted.
I was going to say.
But I think that's really what Walmart stands for, is loot me first.
Yes, all your alarm systems and cameras and, I mean, none of that's working.
Right. So, you can't get around. There's not security. Law enforcement dealing with what's happened plus dealing with the impact of what's happened. All the stores are closed. All the restaurants are closed.
It's like The Walking Dead.
I know. In a garbage pickup. No, that's not happening. Libraries are closed. Everything's closed. The Red Cross says they've opened up some shelters, but I think they said 250 people. There were 40,000 impacted.
Mm.
So they were having to spread outside their own community, which no one wants to leave your house when you feel like, you know, it's not safe out there. I've seen reports from some of the folks that are like helping, and they're saying one of the big problems they're having is cell coverage is so limited because they need power and they can only run so long. And the internet coverage is just non-existent. They have a couple of different hotspots. So I'm sure they're going to be bringing in the AT&T Verizon trucks, which they'll supplement the signals and all of that. And they did announce on one of the city websites, it was telling you if you go to this fire station between these hours, Monday through Friday, you can charge your devices.
Isn't that crazy? Like, that wasn't even a thing 10 years ago or so.
Yeah.
That's just nuts.
That's a whole nother thing. And so then I'm like, oh, okay, so haven't even looked into what's happening with healthcare. so far we haven't even mentioned that, because we just talked about how sick everybody was. Mm-hmm. You got people running around in the dark. You got people that aren't getting, they need oxygen at home. They have medications they can't get. They have treatments they need to have. I mean, it's a nightmare for the people who live there. So we go to First Health of the Carolinas. That's a big name up there, hence the Carolinas name. Isn't that right, David?
Yeah.
But they're saying that the Moore Regional Hospital, which is in Pinehurst, is open and operating on backup generator power. Mm. And that is a requirement for a lot of, for hospitals and ambulatory surgery centers and those kind of places. They are required to have those backup generators that run on gas and diesel, and they sound like a tank starting up. I've had to do the test to switch them over before. So that's good news. But it can only run so much stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they say that the officials at First Health are comfortable and confident that the hospital can maintain backup power as long as needed to continue serving patients, which is great. But that means all the people who need help will be going to that one place. Because they also said all their primary care, now private physician practices that aren't owned by the health system, they're still out there. They may be open, but I would have to know the doctor's name to go look. There may be some urgent care facilities that aren't owned by the health system. They basically said, look, if it's a primary care, any kind of specialties, they're closed until power's restored. And we're postponing certain elective procedures, and we'll make sure that urgent and emergency surgeries and procedures will be handled as needed. That's great news.
Mm-hmm.
But the urgent care clinics, which I'm on the phone with my sister who is horribly sick this weekend. She's going to an urgent care clinic. She pulls in early Sunday morning, and there were already 9 other cars in the parking lot.
Wow.
And I mean, it took her like 2 hours to get in there, but it's not for anything other than sheer volume and workforce. So they did recommend, if you need to go to an urgent care clinic, we got plenty of them in the surrounding area. Good luck. Off you go now. So all you people who live in the surrounding area, guess what?
Yeah, you can get flooded with people that don't normally go to these areas.
You were going to have 9 cars when you got there. Now you're going to have 18.
Yep.
Maybe more. So guess what your plans need to worry about? They need to worry about not just you running out of power, but you having to take the load for somebody else.
Yeah, your neighboring areas having the same thing happen.
So in the words that we learned in COVID, prepare for a surge. It can happen to you.
Yeah, that's right.
If you are a health delivery organization, that's one of the things you need to look at. If you're just one of the ones on the periphery of a major problem like this, that's going to last for a week in the middle of this time of year especially, you might want to have a plan for that. So even though it says regional power outage, you're not under the power outage. You are part of the region. It will impact you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like if there's a major disaster like a hurricane comes through and you got a swath and everybody's out. Nope. You're on the edge. You're there to help. And these are some of the things that I made a list of, like, that should be on your incident response plan. Almost all of this is incident response plan stuff.
Yeah. Now, the cool thing about this, especially when you're dealing with power outage plans, is that these are the modules you can take and say, okay, cool, let's take this module of what we're going to do, and we can put that over here in our ransomware response plan. Because, mm-hmm. A lot of the same things are going to happen. Like, for example, your systems aren't available.
Exactly. Or you can't get to your normal treatment facilities, these things. And that's why it's important you have little bitty pieces that you do have. This is what we'll do for this tiny little thing. And now I could use that as part of a bigger plan somewhere else.
Yeah. And if you happen to have a ransomware response plan, but not a power outage plan, and something happens to you, then you go, okay, what plan do we have that's as close to this as possible? And then I would grab my ransomware response plan and enact that and just, you know, leave out the things that don't matter, but at least I've got something I'm following that's a plan that's been thought through.
Well, and this is kind of stuff that we try to get people to understand. You know, there was a building here in Atlanta where literally the connection to a major building full of healthcare providers, big high rise, the power connection where the power company connects to the building, there was a problem and that blew up.
Ooh.
Yeah. So the whole building couldn't work. The power was out in that building. And they thought at first, oh, you know, we'll be able to. No, I think it was like 6 months. The power was out. Three months.
Oh, gosh.
Right. So you don't just assume that normal world things, because if we planned for everything to go correct, all of our lives would be so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to figure out what could go wrong and have a plan for it, because we know if it can go wrong, it will.
Yep.
Murphy. Okay, so having a communication plan with your team, your patients or clients, your business partners, you've got to know how your incident response team is going to talk to each other, how everybody that's important to your operation learns what they need to know on an ongoing basis for an extended period of time.
Yeah. In this case, it's like, okay, you can't email your patients. They're probably experiencing a power outage. You could put it on your website. Again, they probably don't have internet access.
Yeah, you could send them a text message. Oh.
Yeah, wait a minute. No, can't do that.
Well, like, you would have to do one of everything.
Yeah.
You know, and count on in a small community, they tell two people, they tell two people.
I know. It's like, let's go down to the local bar and tell everybody.
Yeah. Well, if they're running out of ice, they're going to get rid of the beer anyway. So go ahead, get a deal on the beer.
Learn how to do Morse code with smoke signals. That's all I can tell you.
Having a plan. Figure something out. This is where you come to. This is the location you go to get the information. If you can't get to a phone line. And by the way, I need to have a place where I could leave a message they could hear if all they could do is get to a phone line. Here's what you want to know. But I mean, there's a lot of things like that that you sit down and you actually run through and talk about. How am I going to do that and check in with each other? And how will I do it for a whole week when I can go to one fire department in Pinehurst and charge? You know, I mean, you've got to worry about those things. And yeah, I mean, we do our regular discussions here at Cardin to make sure we're available to help our clients. Because when these things happen, they're looking for how can I make sure I'm doing the right thing when I'm doing everything sideways, you know? And often we're the ones that help do part of their incident response. And we had a whole conversation. And recently I ordered for all of our office locations, these big brick battery backups that you can recharge things with. It has all the built-in cables, so I don't have to carry the cables with me. And it has the ability to get some amount of recharge power solar. So, no, you can't charge the whole thing on solar because that would take a ton, because this thing can power a laptop. This thing can charge your phone 8 times, 10 times. It depends on what you got. But I can also use it a little bit and then sit it outside in the sun to let it build some of that back up every time I use it. But we all have them for that reason, so that we can communicate.
Yep.
And a hotspot. If I can get a cell connection that gives me an internet connection. You know, that's what we're all about.
Get you a sat phone.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that would not get noticed walking around anywhere. Big. Yeah. What do you do to make sure your staff's okay? Right? Because they're worried about their family, their home, protecting everything. What about patients who need oxygen at home? Mm. You know, that packed waiting room, it's still going to be there, and it may be even worse by the time you open up. So let's say the power comes on Thursday. They're going to be at the door. What are you going to do when it opens up? Do you have a plan? The hospital has generators, so does everybody go there? How do you communicate with the hospital? Who do you talk to at the hospital? Do you need to send your clinical staff to help out there? If that's the only place open, maybe so. Is there a plan for that? What about the stuff that has to be refrigerated? The restaurants, the grocery stores, all of them, they're going to have problems with that. That's going to be an issue across the board. Just food. But what about patients who need things like, they need those protein drinks, you know, and you don't do those hot and just those Boost and Ensure and all that stuff. And the ones who don't necessarily understand what's going on, you've got to deal with those. People that are on insulin, that's got to be refrigerated. Have you taught your patients who are on insulin what to do in this situation? Do you know how to follow up with them? Do they know who to talk to? Or do they just stop taking their insulin, which nobody wants that to happen? Mm-mm. And what are you going to do about your staff who is right before the holidays, suddenly, because you're having to be closed, now they're not getting paid?
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. So those are all kinds of things to think about.
Call your insurance company.
I know. People need help, you know, and just to say, you know, some idiot shot up the substation for whatever reason. It was not a good reason. I don't care what their reason is. It was
not a good reason.
It was not a good reason. There's never going to be a good reason for creating this kind of havoc in your community. I don't care what your reasoning is. Wrong. So what kind of things would your MSPs or even like your critical business associates, what would you want them to be thinking about there, David?
Everything.
Don't just say, well, we're fine.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, just like in healthcare, if you are an MSP and you're doing IT, you're going to have some of the same issues with people calling you. So you're everybody in your area potentially. So you could have every client calling you. Mm-hmm. And as much as I laugh about this, somebody's going to say, my computer don't work. Ma'am, the power is out. Okay, but my computer's not working. It's happened. Trust me.
I'm sorry. Are you from the past?
I know. But, you know, their clients potentially may ask you, like, what can you do to help us? Do you have battery backups? Do you have these things? Do you have solar backups? How can you help us get back going? Can you help us with communication and things like that? All these other things that you just covered, potentially they're going to be calling some of the other business associates, the MSPs, and asking for those things.
Yes. So knowing you've got all of that going on, and we can assume with MSPs that some of them are going to be, you know, most of them like you, you got people scattered everywhere now.
Oh, yeah. We are location diverse.
I like that. So if you are diverse enough that some are in the zone and some are outside of the zone, what do you do? Do the ones, hey, all you employees that have heating and power and an internet connection, yeah, better have a guest room.
Yep.
I'm coming over to stay with you, and I'm bringing all the kids and the dogs too. But I mean, it's those kind of questions of do you have that? What about with your clients on extra mobile hotspots and backup batteries?
Yep.
You just going to say, no, we don't have them?
I wonder how many people would do like I do and go outside and like run the car to charge your phone. It's like I'm paying $4 a gallon in gas to charge my phone.
Yeah. And that is, you know, that's another thing is, oh, I'm going to drive to such and such. What if you don't have gas?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how, because I can assure you most gas pumps today need power.
Yeah.
So how are you going to get to that gas? How are you going to get people moving around? Because you still have clients who are counting on you for them to treat people and communicate with people during this. And then both, it's like, what are you going to do when the power comes back on?
Well, hopefully, once everything settles down, you sit down and you go, okay, let's talk about everything we encountered, what went right, what went wrong. And if we have a plan already, let's make the adjustments. If we don't have a plan, perfect time to create one.
Write it all down so that you don't have to remember it. Because I assure you, you're not gonna.
No. Nope. Your brain's gonna be like, that was terrible. Block it out.
No. Well, and another thing is, think about when all this comes back online, all the computers, all the devices, everything's booting up at the same time.
Yep.
How stable do you think that grid's going
to
be?
Nobody's going to be able to print.
Sad but true, people. Sad but true. But knowing, you know, you've got to come back when you get back in place. Now I've got to deal with a week of problems. And you know the help desk calls are going to go berserk when everything starts booting up. I can't even.
Yep. Glad it's not in my area. I missed it by that much.
It was close.
It was so not close.
Yeah. You don't have any clients there. Woo.
Yeah. I mean, missed it by like 30 miles maybe. It was really close.
So, but it's still worth now sitting down and talking with your team about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
How could we impact? What could this be? So this is a great conversation starter for those of you who aren't suffering right now. And for those of you who are in that area, I wish we could do something to help. I don't know what that would be at this point.
Yeah, but you don't have any power, so you're not listening right now anyway.
I know. Well, you might be.
By now, you might be.
By now, you might be somewhere else. But that situation, and I wake up this morning. I was thinking about it yesterday, and I wake up this morning and I see that, it's not going to be Monday. It's going to be Thursday. I'm like, this is a perfect thing to show when something major happens and it's not happening to you. Use that as an opportunity to imagine it's happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And take the time to more than say, well, I'm glad that didn't happen here.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Well, see you, bye. Yep. No, talk about it. Because bottom line is, somebody else is going to try something similar.
Yep. Or you could be in Hawaii and be worried about Mauna Loa.
Oh, yeah, there's that. Our folks in Hawaii, bless your hearts, with the erupting volcano and the acid rain. And at one time, the volcano, not this one, but another one was erupting, and a hurricane was coming. I mean,
yeah,
we can't get better than that.
We're just waiting on Godzilla to come up out of the ocean.
Godzilla. But, at any time, your world could be turned upside down and you're not prepared for it, then it will go horribly awry.
Yep. That's
so true. Take the time, know that you are tied to the critical infrastructure and that matters. And critical infrastructure is called that for a freaking reason. It's critical to our ability to maintain our lives, our economic foundations, our ability to secure things, yeah. everything.
To infrastruct.
It's an infrastruct. So this gives you that time. Go be thankful that you're not dealing with it having never thought of it.
I know, because if our power was out, we wouldn't be recording right now.
Yeah, we probably would. We'd figure it out. We always have.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm driving down to Donna's house. I got power.
Yeah, yeah, we've always figured it out. We'll have our podcast episode again or something.
Yeah, we will.
All right, guy. All right. There you go.
That's our show for today, folks. Thanks for listening. And for those of you who had the power outage, because I'm hoping it's back up by the time this releases.
Surely.
Yeah. If any of you have a story to tell, let us know. Maybe we'll find somebody in the area to interview to see how crazy things were and give you some things to think about. So there you go. All right. So that is it for today. And remember to follow us and share us out on your favorite social media site. Give us a rating and review. We also hope to see you at the PriceAid Bootcamp coming up in March. So check that out at PriceAidBootcamp.com. And remember, for Donna and myself, HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims. The show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.